Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. RV Levin here.
Charlie Neff here.
Courtney here.
Derek here.
So, Meatloaf has died. He was a really pretty amazing entertainer. And I say entertainer and not singer because Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell, was one of the biggest albums in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And
it went 65 million copies.
And yeah. It went across the decades. Like, you know him. I love him. Like, he was, his music's awesome.
Yeah. His music's awesome. His film and TV career is awesome. Here's what we know. He died Thursday night, and we are told this. This was a COVID-related death, that earlier this week, he was supposed to have a meeting at a restaurant in L.A. called AOC. He canceled the meeting. It was a business meeting because he's working on a show, or was working on a show called "I Do Anything for Love,"
mm-hmm. You
know, one of his songs.
Yep.
And there was some Australian connection to this show, but they were having this business meeting, or they're supposed to, at AOC, and he canceled because he was seriously ill with COVID. We are told that seriously ill became critically ill, and then he died Thursday night.
And we're not sure if he was vaccinated or not, right?
Well, he was...
took some positions against the mandate,
yes,
but we don't know
right.
that he was anti-vax.
Yeah,
They're different issues.
They are different issues. He was very, very much opposed to vaccine mandates and was railing on Australia on a recent Zoom call, we're told, over this. Now, there are some people who think that some of the things he said suggested he might not have been vaccinated. We don't know that for sure, but he died with his wife at his side.
And daughter, I think.
Yes.
This is a huge loss. And like you said, he wasn't slowing down. He was working on other shows. Meatloaf still
had upcoming shows.
He had upcoming shows. He had cultural relevance even across the decades. I mean, I Would Do Anything for Love was huge in the 90s. But in the 70s, like you said, he was gigantic, just a towering figure. Rocky Horror Picture Show is still a movie that gets shown in college movie theaters. So
it's
everyone
huge.
Knows.
Wait, was he in that?
Rocky Horror Picture Show
was probably the biggest thing. And
you guys, he was in Spice World, the movie.
Which
was the bus
fantastic.
Driver.
Yep.
And he had an iconic line in the movie where he said, "I would do anything for those girls, but I won't do that," when it came to cleaning yep. the toilets on the bus. So.
Just iconic. And he had fun with his own image. He knew,
yeah.
he, knew he was larger
he
than
was
life.
Bigger.
He knew he was an entertainer. And you're exactly right about the Harvey. But he did have a booming voice. I mean, an iconic voice on top of just, he wasn't a guy who didn't have talent as well. He's on Broadway, movies, mm-hmm. and those albums, like you say, are just...
Whenever his songs come on, you have to dance.
You don't turn
yes.
them off. And
stop.
They're also like
yes.
8 minutes long.
They're yeah. so
he
long.
He never did a short song. That
no.
guy would
yeah.
give it. So on radio, to get an 8-minute airplay, it was a big deal.
There's something so lovable about him, too. Like, you just want to give him a big hug.
Yeah.
You remember
like
he came into Live and he was just...
Well, he came
oh,
in...
Yeah.
I met him here?
I
met him twice. Yeah. He came in for TMZ Live once. But also, there was Kurt Chaplin, who was on the People's Court for years and years, was very, very, very close to Meatloaf. And in the late 90s, Kurt brought Meatloaf to the set of People's Court.
Did he do a case? A dog bite?
No, I think he liked. I think he liked the show, and Kurt brought him by, and it was so exciting to meet him. And I remember thinking, God, I'm usually not starstruck by celebrities. But I was kind of starstruck by him.
Aww.
He had such a presence.
Yep.
Like, I've never seen him in show, but like watching his music videos, like watching him in shows, he was just like joyful.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. There are a lot of people who walk through our halls and come in for TMZ Live, but that was one that is super memorable to me because he just had a larger than life kind of, you know, figure to him. So this is a big loss.
Okay, so speaking of music, Adele.
Another big loss.
Yeah, no, Adele has put her show on ice in Vegas. It was supposed to, I think it was supposed to start Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of buzz around it because tickets were so expensive and everyone was just dying to go to this concert.
Well, but I mean, this was going to be probably the biggest concert in Vegas. Yep. And, you know, it's on the heels of her new album.
It was the biggest residency. Like, everyone was so excited about it.
So she was emotional about canceling this. Here's what she said.
My show ain't ready. We've tried absolutely everything that we can and for it to be good enough for you, but we've been absolutely destroyed by delivery delays and COVID. Half my crew, half my team are down with COVID, they still are. And it's been impossible to finish the show. I can't give you what I have right now. And I'm gutted. I'm gutted and I'm sorry it's so last minute. We've been awake for over 30 hours now trying to figure it out and I'm so upset and I'm really embarrassed and I'm so sorry to everyone that's traveled again. I'm really, really sorry. I'm really sorry. We're on it. We're going to reschedule all of the dates. We're on it right now. We've been up against so much and it just ain't ready.
I got to tell you. I got to tell you, she's, I get it. And that's why she's so great, is she's so committed to what she mm-hmm. does. But everybody understands. I mean, you know, I mean, she's really upset and she's upset about disappointing her fans and everything else. Look, I'm sorry for projecting this, but her fans, I think, understand. And because everybody knows the ripple effect that COVID
yeah,
has
but
on people.
There's so many other shows still happening because of COVID.
Well, no, no.
Like, I understand, but I don't, like, really.
Well, no, she said in her situation that her crew has come down with it to the point where they can't actually put the show on.
Right. She's saying their actual production delays, they can't put it together. It's not just safety for the audience.
Totally,
they can't put it
together. Totally understandable.
The world's not fully functioning right now, right? This is a reminder that COVID is affecting everybody.
The world is far from fully functioning.
Right.
But there's still shows and everything like still happening.
No, no, but you got to understand. There are people in her crew that have COVID that she needs to put the show on, they can't work.
I know,
not
but to not even
to
have dates yet to say, like, we're, like,
well, because it
like,
just happened.
It back, like, three weeks.
No, you don't understand. It just happened. It
I
happened.
Know.
Literally, she was trying to do it last night. She said we were up for 30 hours.
But the shows were supposed to start on Thursday.
Right, but if somebody comes down with COVID on Wednesday, what are they supposed to do?
I mean,
I think Courtney's saying there's so many resources behind someone like Adele.
Like,
why weren't there backup and contingency plans?
Well, and why
but
now just
guys,
so Thursday?
You're
show
right.
Like wasn't
this is crazy.
ready?
Are you? This is crazy.
I feel like it's kind of like a cop out.
It definitely
I honestly
sucks.
Do. Like I feel like her.
Courtney,
she's using COVID
Courtney,
as a cop out.
Courtney, we are having the same issue. Here.
And do we not get the shows on every single day?
But,
the show was happening on Thursday.
Right, but,
they weren't that close enough that like a few people can't be out. How many people on our team have COVID? They don't have like replacements.
Courtney,
I do get it.
But
Courtney,
at some point,
on,
so many resources
what is going
are hit.
On
you
with
remember
you?
That Spider-Man Broadway show when Spider-Man had a back injury and there are things that were breaking on
well,
the
it
set
was
eventually?
Spider-Man.
Right, but eventually you don't have a backup for the backup plan.
I get
and she
it,
may have reached up against
her
limits
like,
of being able to do it.
I feel like her crying like
oh my God, Courtney, what
is
what is going on with you today?
Nothing. I feel like she was copping out. Honestly,
oh my
I really
God.
Do.
I feel like you're looking around for support.
What?
And
I know.
You're
sorry,
not
getting
it from
all
us.
Right. Well, when I see her at a Lakers game in the next week or
oh.
so, I will
but
be
she
bringing
can go
this up.
To a Lakers
oh,
game.
But she can't put on a Vegas
because
show in that like a few
I'll tell
weeks?
You why. Because she doesn't need the whole crew to go to a Lakers game.
Okay, but her show was supposed to start next week. You're not that far along in the process.
Or you her show must go on sign at the next Lakers game.
You cannot be serious.
It does really suck for all the people that like booked
oh,
hotel rooms.
Oh, when they
Caesar.
Go there.
It's less than a
but she
week
said she'll
out.
Reschedule everything.
But
I mean, I think she'll
yeah,
make good
on
everybody.
Yeah, but what if I already have your flight
by when?
Fair enough.
Because,
I don't know.
Because you only have COVID for like 10 days or so, so she
which
doesn't
is,
even have a date yet.
What is she supposed
yet?
To do?
Courtney, she didn't even say a date. We're trying to work out the dates. They were pushing it back 2 weeks. That means that her whole entire production like was not ready. She wasn't prepared for
Harvey,
it.
You can only give Courtney so many life rafts to get off this island, and she apparently wants to stay there, so we need to leave her there.
I will say to Courtney's point, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot involved in an Adele show versus like
yes.
a Britney Spears Backstreet Boys
okay,
show
here,
where
hey
there's
guys,
dancers.
Guys, let's just do this. Okay. This is the Titanic. And Courtney is holding on to the raft.
Hey,
and
yeah. that
we are taking
prepared.
Her fingers and plying them off the raft.
We have
right
to let you
now.
Go.
But
we have
you,
to let you go,
but
Courtney.
Do you remember on the Titanic? The band was prepared.
Oh
they went
my
down
God.
The ship.
She does have
honest.
You there, Adele.
I am deceived.
Oh my God. this is the craziest thing. This is crazy on so many levels. This happened, what we're about to play for you, on Wednesday. For some reason, it got picked up some on Twitter, but mainstream media did not pick this up. Because I watched, and I am stunned. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, this is what he said in response to a question about the John Lewis Voting Rights Act that failed in Congress on Wednesday night. Here was the question, and here is Mitch McConnell's answer.
What's your message for voters of color who are concerned that without the John L. Lewis Voting Rights Act, they're not going to be able to vote in the midterm?
Well, the concern is misplaced, because if you look at the statistics, African-American voters are voting in just as high a percentage as Americans.
Wait, what? I'm so confused.
So the problem is he said that African-Americans weren't Americans, because he said African-Americans vote just as frequently as Americans.
Indicating he, was separating
Black
them.
Americans are not Americans. I don't typically love gotcha journalism. Maybe he flubbed. The problem with the flub is who Mitch McConnell is and what we think he believes
represents
in his heart. And the problem is there's a Freudian element to this that is inescapable. When Mitch McConnell speaks this way, you're allowed to draw adverse inferences against him because of who Mitch McConnell is. I was deeply troubled. I typically don't jump on people. You know, we all speak sort of loosely. We say things that are flubs and you miss words. But what it says about him deeply is very, very troubling. It's troubling, right, Hart?
I think you put it really well, because I feel the same way, that it's just, you can't, like, you know, people misspeak.
It didn't feel that way, though, with this.
Biden misspeaks sometimes. We misspeak. Everybody misspeaks. But I think when you look at what, like you say, I mean, I think you put it really well. When you look at what's behind it, the fact that, you know, not just, you know, the fact that every single Republican voted against this, but in addition to that, you've got 19 states passing at least 34 laws that are restricting the right to vote and mostly affecting minority communities. And that's just a fact. And, you know, Mitch McConnell has been, you know, drawing a line in the sand here. So all of a sudden he says that, it feels like.
It doesn't sit right.
It doesn't sit right, because if Biden makes that flub, you're right. He speaks very loosely. This isn't a news story. Everyone knows where Biden's views are on this particular issue. But we also know where Mitch McConnell's views are. And he is adamantly opposed to the Voting Rights Act and then makes a comment like this. You can't dismiss it as a flub.
It's really, really troubling. It is.
Did he try to correct himself after?
Well, you know, he said he came out and he was trying to say, you know, that voters have the same kind of access and all of this stuff. So he did kind of
tried to add context.
He added context to it. But, it, you know, it kind of is what, as my Aunt Annie would say, it is what it is.
It is what it is. You said it.
And it felt very natural for him to, like, say it.
Right.
That's like, it didn't feel like a flub.
Yeah. It felt like it revealed something about his character and his true beliefs. And that's why it's troubling.
And, you know, and it kind of related to all of this. It's so interesting. By the way, before we get into what Joe Biden said in his news conference, I'm really surprised. I thought this was going to get national attention, and I hadn't seen this anywhere on national news, cable news, broadcast news. I don't know why that was. They usually would jump on something like that.
Well, you know what our colleague Mike Babcock would say, why that didn't get a lot of cover. You're talking about the Mitch or the Biden?
Mitch.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. The Mitch thing didn't get as much pickup as I think.
It's Biden, so natural.
Biden got
pickup about whether the 2022 election is going to be legit or not, where he would not say for sure it is. And look, a lot of people were saying that's kind of shades of what Donald Trump said.
They're playing the same game.
In 2020. But, you know, Biden's concern is with all of these voting restrictions, with the Republicans putting certain secretaries of state in power in certain states and legislatures, you know, and getting his people in state legislatures. There's real concern right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think this is more than theoretical, that, you know, if Biden would have said, oh, sure, I have confidence. It's almost like sticking your head in the sand, because there was a reality out there of what's going on. And that's what Bill Maher talks about, which is this slow moving coup where the Republicans are trying to get people in the Secretary of States, in state legislatures, and passing laws that will maybe change the results of an election that would otherwise go the other way.
I love how Harvey always brings it back to Bill Maher.
all roads lead to Maher. No, but it's a tough situation. What is the president supposed to do? You're right. Does he stick his head in the sand? But by announcing that you're questioning the legitimacy, it's corrosive to the very idea of our democracy.
That's right.
You plant the seed that your elections aren't free and fair just by pointing out very real things that are happening. He's in a tough spot. I don't think you can put your head completely in the sand, but even when you allude to the idea that what the results are may not be legitimate, you're undermining the entire enterprise.
Yeah.
So it's a really tough spot we're in as a country.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's move on to Britney. There is, there's a new thing now that Jamie Lynn is saying she was trying to help Britney get out of the conservatorship. We'll get into that in a minute. What I'm finding really fascinating here that I've been thinking about is they are aligned in so many ways that they're not necessarily acknowledging, because they're both saying that they are victims of the way they were raised,
mm-hmm,
and right, by their parents in particular. So there's a common ground there that they both share, and you would think that might unite them, and it's the exact thing that's divided them, even though it's a shared experience, because they're kind of getting into their own life experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, and who had it worse, and that seems to be driving them apart, even though they have this thing in common that only they could experience, and it's just weird.
And share together.
Yeah.
Like, think that it would almost draw them closer together, but it's the one that, it's just separating them.
Jamie Lynn pointed that out too in her legal letter that she sent back regarding Britney's cease and desist. She said, you know, if you read the book, you'll find we're a lot more alike than you think.
So isn't this crying out for a mediator? I mean, you have two, they both have lawyered up. They're sending back nasty letters.
Well,
lawyers aren't particularly
good
at mediation.
Some of them are, but not many. And clearly in this case, these lawyers are not interested in mediating.
Right, and that's not to say lawyers don't have a role. Matt Rosengart's doing a great job as an advocate. Often you want a bulldog, but sometimes you want a mediator. You want someone to come in and point out the common ground that they share, someone who can just get them to the table. I don't know who that person is for them. Is it their brother? You know, you don't hear a lot about Brian, but I think about him sitting around the table being like, we all underwent the same thing.
I don't know how they get back together. I mean,
I don't think they do. They're both waiting for the other person to apologize.
But you can't
wait for that. And that's not coming. Yeah.
Well, it's more than apologies.
It's like just fold.
Britney's telling Jamie Lynn, basically, don't do this book thing. And Jamie Lynn is saying, hey, this is my experience. Forget it. I'm doing what I want to do. And it's just kind of gotten off the rails. Mm-hmm. And what they have in common seems to have evaporated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the essence of the conflict,
right,
which is ironic.
How do you get back on the rails? Do you think there's a person who they could sit with? Or do they just need to get together at a table together?
Time.
But they have tried to talk, you know, one-on-one.
It's not going
to
happen
now. Harvey's right,
and
though. Time just lessens all of the, like, strong emotions.
Yeah, but they
emotions.
Have to, like, let it go. It's like they can't keep going this thing like back and forth publicly, else time will never
you
that's
gotta
true.
Get there.
It keeps it amped up.
You gotta let it go and then either miss the other person or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know whether they will. But
the problem is now though is that yes, we haven't seen either one of them post, but the problem is that all these interviews that Jamie Lynn did like a week ago are trickling out now. And so this should be the time for healing for both of them. But with all Jamie Lynn's interviews coming out during this time,
it's going to
the scab doesn't close. It just picks it right off.
Britney's going to get triggered again, post on social media, and it starts like the cycle all over again.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Messy.
Okay, finally, Kanye. This was so I don't know what to make of this, but yesterday Kanye was out and about in L.A., and
getting ice cream.
Do we know what flavor?
I do not know what flavor.
I know.
These are critical things.
But
it's very critical.
You know, he's out getting ice cream, and some guy comes up to him and says, you know, you're an awesome father. And he just, it just like a light bulb went off, and he was just so happy and fist bumped the guy.
You're an amazing father. Amazing.
I
appreciate that, bro.
Oh, that was nice. It meant so much to him. And it takes you back to the fact that Kanye is saying, look, I really want to be a good dad, a present dad. And with all of the problems that he's having with Kim and she's having with him and the divorce and Pete Davidson.
And regarding the kids specifically, too, because he had said that he wasn't invited to Chicago's birthday and he was trying to get there. And it was this whole public thing where he was scrambling to get an address. And then he ended up there and was like holding Chicago, swinging at the pinata.
He really wants to be a good present dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think what you will about Kanye. It's a cool moment, too, because he's always in such a defensive posture. He's expecting the worst when he's around people. It seems like people say nasty things to him,
like,
or recently someone
recently.
looking for the autograph hound, and to get a kind word, it catches him off guard. Like he was so happy because it's such a strange experience.
Well, also,
I'm sure for
but
him.
It's also so weird that just a stranger on a street can like change
can make your day.
Yeah.
And because they follow him.
Yeah.
And
but that it means so much to him is like what I mean.
Yes.
Like
it hit him deeply.
Yeah. I think if you said to him, like, oh, Kanye, you're an awesome musician.
Right. Love your music.
I don't know if he would react the same. I think I'd be like, yeah, I know.
I mean, people have said that to him. Yeah. I mean, people have auditioned for him on the street and he likes it, but it's not like this.
He already has a lot of confidence about who he is.
It didn't tug on the heartstrings. Yes.
So explain this to me. He drives off in a minivan.
This is what kind of drives me crazy. He's so out of touch and like was so poor like 20 years ago. That's when minivans like were like important to like a family man. Now it's like an SUV. It's a Suburban. Like he like wants to show he's a family man, but he's been rich for so long.
Why are you criticizing him?
Oh my God.
Courtney, what is going on with you today?
I'm like with like faded spirits in me.
Oh, you like your kids and you're driving
but
a
no,
minivan?
Yeah.
Why not
dad?
An SUV?
Because isn't it an SUV now? It's like a Suburban type thing. It's not a minivan anymore. He's so out of touch.
Do they sell minivans?
Not as frequent as a Suburban.
Okay.
Do they sell minivans?
Yeah.
Do you think that people
but
with
not for a family van. They do Suburbans now and like...
Courtney, what's going on with you today?
I don't know.
I see your point on this one. It is odd to see him because you think of middle class people having minivans and him having an extended Suburban.
But give Kanye his due on this.
Oh, I'm looking at the people now.
Aren't minivans kind of expensive, too? Like, you think they're not cool, but they're expensive.
SUVs are more expensive than
minivans. The very big SUVs are more expensive, but minivans aren't cheap. I mean, you're accommodating a lot more people.
But people with kids have SUVs.
Guys, are we really talking about this?
This is just coming from you because you don't know anything about it because you're rich.
No, hey, you're telling me about minivans?
Yes.
I would love to see Harvey in a minivan.
Oh, my God, he couldn't reach the pedal. You got to get him like a
phone book.
What did you have for breakfast today?
Nothing. I got to eat, actually.
Okay. Okay, guys. Have a good weekend. We will see you Monday.
Thanks. Bye.